We begin the current daf Masechet Baba Basra daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of Kuf Lamed Vav Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is relating to the halacha of the Mishnah previous daf, which spoke about a case of when someone wants to write over his assets to his sons as a healthy person, Mahayim Alachar Misa, which ultimately that means to say that the Kin HaGuf goes right now to his sons, but the Kin HaPeris, the utility, is still the father's until the day that he dies, which the Gemara said there would be a ramification in the case of when the son sells it when the father is still alive and he dies before the father, if the lekeach will get it, is totally in the machlekes of Yechon Rish Lakish. If the father's kinya peiris, is kinya guf or not? If it's kinya guf, then the son had nothing to sell because the father had everything, and therefore the lekeach doesn't get anything. Whereas Rish Lakish held that no, kinya peiris is not like kinya guf. The father only has the kinya peiris, the son has kinya guf, and what he was sold is sold. On that, Rabbi Yechon asked Rish Lakish from a braisa, which said that if someone tells somebody, here, my property is going to you, but after you goes to that guy, and after that second guy goes to the third guy. So on that, the Braisa said that if the second guy died before the first guy died, so the third guy's rights only gets it from the second guy. So if the second guy died, so it can't go to the second because he's dead, and neither is going to go to the third guy. If the first guy's dead, it goes to the first guy's Yershim. And that Rabbi Yechon asked to Rish Lakish, according to you, that you say Kinya Peris is not like Kinya Gov, so although it can't go to the third guy, neither should it go to inheritors of the first guy, because first guy doesn't own the property. He only had Kinya Peris. According to me, that's like Kinya Gov, and the first guy removed himself, and the one who gave it removed himself from the whole thing, could understand that it goes to Yerusha Rishon. But according to you, how does it go to Yerusha Rishon? To which Rish Lakish responded, Rav Isha already responded in Bavel and explained that Acharecha is different. That case, the one who gave it to the first guy totally. Gave it to him not only for the peiros, for the guf too. It's just that he was saying, after you, if you didn't finish everything, including and get rid of the body of the property itself, then it'll go to the second guy, but it's not just a kinya peiros, it's also a kinya guf. And that's why it's not difficult in Rish Lakish. If it was just kinya peiros, you're right, it would be a difficulty, but here it's a kinya guf too. That the Gemara continues and asks on Rabbi Yechanan, but Vatanya, we actually learned the Braisa that is in saying not like the way we had in the previous Braisa, that this Braisa says that even though you could say Acharecha Shani, that's, you could say that, like Rish Lakish had responded, that let's say you would usually say Kinya Peiris is not like Kinya Guf. But when you say, I'm giving all my properties to you, and after you goes to this other guy, it's like he's actually giving him Kinya Guf, and that's why Rish Lakish had explained that it's going to go to the Yerusha Rishon. In spite of that, this Braisa says, it does not go to the inheritors of the first guy. If the second guy died while the first guy was still alive, Yachzur L'Yerusha Naisen. It goes back to the inheritors of the one who had given the original gift. And the reason for that is because the Kenyan Paris of the first guy is not like Kenya Guf. Now, if that's what you see from this Braisa, for sure in the case of a regular generic Kenyan Paris, we're for sure it's not like a Kenya Guf. Because in this case of Acharecha, you could say, as we explained the Braisa of Rish Lakish on the bottom of this Daf, which said that, okay, you know, it's like you're giving Kenya Guf. So, and even that this Braisa is saying is not going to be like Kenya Guf. It's going to go to the Yerusha Naisen. For sure, regular Kinya Peiris is not like Kinya Guf, which is like Rish Lakish, and a difficulty for Rabbi Yechanan. So that the Gemara continues on the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin Rad Aleph and answers that you're right. At this point, the Gemara is coming to address that both of these Braises that we quoted on this stuff and from the previous stuff are both like Rish Lakish. Because whether according to the opinion that says that when the second one dies and the first one then dies, that it goes back to the Yerusha Naisen, to the inheritors of the one who had given the original gift, or whether according to the one who says it goes back to the inheritors of the first guy, they all could be like Rish Lakish and hold that in general, Kinyin Peiris is not like Kinya Guf. Because even according to the one of the Braisa we quoted in the previous stuff that said it goes back to the Yerusha Rishon, that's only because, as we explained from Rish Lakish, Acharecha is different. Because it's almost like he's giving him not just Kinyan Peiris, the first guy, but also Kinya Guf. But according to Rabbi Yechon, is what the Gemara has to address, that this Braisa is definitely difficult according to him, where how can you say it goes to the Yerusha Naisen if the first guy for sure should get it, because his Kinyan Peiris is a Kinya Guf? To which the Gemara answers and says, Tanoihi. You're right, there is this Braisa, not like Rabbi Yechanan, but it's a Machlekes Tanoim who disagree regarding what is the status of the Kinyan Peiris of the first guy from these three recipients, if it's like Kinya Guf or not. And Rabbi Yechanan is saying that I hold like the one who says that it is like Kinya Guf. The time like learning the Braisa. The Braisa says, if someone says to someone else, Nechasai Lach, my properties are going to you. Now, Vacharecha Lepleini, after you're done with it, it goes to that second guy. Now, the Yared Rishon Umacher V'Achol. Now, the first guy who had the first rights to it went down, sold off the property, and he consumed its products, which, as Rashbam says, that's just the normal way. Meaning, why would someone sell it? Because he wants to use the money, the proceeds from it. Says the first opinion, Hasheni Meitzim Yad Alkuchis Divi Rebbe. Rebbe says that the second guy who was supposed to be the second in line, he could go and after the first guy died, remove that product, let's say those lands, from the one who purchased it from the first guy. Why? Because the first person's kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf. Moreover, that although we said in the previous daf that, but when you say acharecha, that is different and it's like you're giving kinyan guf to the first guy, that Rebbe doesn't hold off. So since acharecha doesn't help and it's a regular kinyan peiros, Rebbe holds that's not like kinyan guf. That's not like Rebbe Yechon. But the second opinion of Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, Ein l'sheni ela masha shai rishon. The second guy only gets what the first guy leaves over. And if he doesn't leave over anything, the second guy doesn't take anything. Because Rebbe Shimon holds, the rights of the first person to have its utility is like a kinyan guf, which is like a b'yechanan. Now, Shlokish actually would say that that's not a contradiction for his opinion, as we said in the previous daf. He's just saying because acharecha is different, acharecha would be considered like a kinyan guf. So what Rebbe Yechanan is answering is that Rebbe holds kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf. And the brisa that we taught that says it goes back to the Yerushay Noisen, which was clearly not like Rebbe Yechanan, that we start off the daf, is like Rebbe. And therefore, the first person's kinyan peiros doesn't give many rights to it, so it goes back to the original owner, but who had gifted it. Whereas Reb Shimon holds that it is like kinyan guf. And therefore, the brisa from the previous daf that said it goes back to the Yerushay Rishon is like Reb Shimon, and says Reb Yechanan, I hold like Reb Shimon. And that's actually what the Gemara brings later on. Reb Yechanan Paskin's halacha is like Reb Shimon. Now, however, according to Reish Lakish, that no one's disagreeing that kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf. Rather, everyone holds is lavki kinyan guf. So what's the machlokes between these two brises? It's and in this brisa too, where it has these two opinions, Rebbe holds that even though you say acharecha, still it's like a regular kinyan peiros for the first one, and therefore kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf. You don't own it, you the first guy. Therefore, when you're out of the picture, when you die, the one that you sold it to, the second guy could go ahead and take it back because the body was never owned by the first one. Now, when the second person died, let's say in the case of when there's three people, he said, and after you goes the second one, after you want to go to the third one, and the second one dies before the first one died, and then the first one dies, then he holds that it'll go back to the Yerushay Nisan. Why? Because the kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf. But Reb Shimon ben Gamliel held that you're right. Although in general, kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf, but here, as we explained the Bryson previous stuff, which was saying that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, when it's acharecha is different. It's like he was being makneh to the first person, not just the peiros, but even the property itself. And therefore, in this case, Reb Shimon would say that the second one is only going to have what the first one leaves over. And so too, when the second one dies, it will go back to the Yerushay Rishon, because the Yerushay Rishon, the Rishon had not just kinyan peiros, but even had a real legitimate kinyan guf. Now, says Rashbam, you actually have to say the way the Gemara is saying over here, so that it wouldn't be a contradiction in Hilchasa and Hilchasa. The reason is because the Gemara paskins elsewhere that the halacha is like Reish Lakish, Perka Chaylitz, it says this, that kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf. Now, regarding this halacha of acharecha l'pleini, the Gemara actually tells us later on that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, that the second one only has what the first one left over, as the Gemara says the halacha is like Reb Shimon. And moreover, Reish Lakish does not disagree with that psak that Reb Yechanan says later on. And moreover, it's obvious that Abaye held like that, because Abaye says shortly, Ezehu Rosh Ha'arm, who is a crafty, wicked person, which is based on Pasen like Reb Shimon. So too, the Gemara later on brings a certain halacha that would be obvious like Reb Shimon. So therefore, you have to say that Reb Shimon's halacha would go well with Reish Lakish, where that you have to say that Reb Shimon, yes, agrees that kinyan peiros is not like kinyan guf. So why over here then the second one loses is only because, like we said, because acharecha is different, and acharecha is like he gave the first one not just kinyan peiros but even kinyan guf, and therefore these two halachas go well and they're both halacha lamaisa. Now, although Rabbi Yechanan answered the contradiction of the two brises, which, yeah, that's a machlekes tanoim, so we quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yamshim Gamliel, but now the Gemara says v'rimini. But actually, this brise is contradicted by a different brise. Because this second brise says as follows. Nachas alach v'acharech l'plaini, seemingly the same case. It says, my properties go to you, and after you're done, it goes to this other person. Says the first opinion, Yerid Rishon u'maychev ha'echel divi Rabbi. Rabbi says, the first guy could go down, he could sell off the things, and he could consume the prophets. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Pshim Gamlila, he says, no, Ein L'rishon El Achilas Peris Bilvad. The first person only gets the utility, the Peris itself. Now, what the assumption of the Gemara right now is that it sounds like he could eat and sell the produce, the Peris, but not the body itself. And actually, it sounds like that if he would sell it, that the second one would be able to take it away from the Lekuches. Says the Gemara, Kasha the Rebbe, Ad the Rebbe, Ud the B'Shem Gamliel, Ad the B'Shem Gamliel. Both of their opinions are contradicting themselves. The first Braisa quotes Rebbe as saying that the first guy cannot sell. If he does, the second guy could take it away from the consumers of the first person. Second Braisa, he says, no, he could go ahead and sell. And B'Shem Gamliel is also a contradiction. In the first Braisa, he's quoted as saying, no, whatever the first guy leaves over, if he doesn't leave over anything, the second guy doesn't get anything, which is even the body. And the second Braisa of B'Shem Gamliel says that no, that he's not allowed to sell the body, he's only allowed to sell the Peris itself. How do we understand this seemingly double contradiction? Says the Gemara, the Rebbe ad Rebbe like Kasha. First addresses Rebbe. Rebbe is not a contradiction. Why? Ha, the first price that Rebbe said that the second guy could take it away from the Lekuchas of the first one, that was talking about Legufa, when the first guy had sold the body, the properties themselves. Whereas Rebbe, as we had explained his opinion, first guy doesn't have the guf, he only has the peris itself. That's why the second guy could go ahead and collect it from Lekuches. Whereas Ha, the second braisa, that he says that the first guy could go down and take what he wants and sell it and use the proceeds, was Lepera. That he could go ahead and sell the produce because that he has the rights to, and that was what the second braisa was talking about. Reb Shimon Gamliel is also not a contradiction, because Ha, Likatchila, the second braisa, where Reb Shimon said that he's not allowed to go ahead and sell more than the produce, meaning that he's not allowed to sell the body of the property itself, and only the peretz itself, that was talking about likatchila. Initially, he shouldn't go ahead, this first guy, and sell the body of the property itself, because we want that the original giver should have his wishes fulfilled. Because he obviously made it known that he wants that after you're done, this second guy, this third guy should get it. So he wants that if it's okay with the first one, he should leave something for the second guy. So what the second Bryce was saying was, first it was quoting Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe said the first guy could go down, he could sell, he could eat, because all that he's allowed to go ahead and sell anyway are the payers and that he has full rights to. On that word, Reb Shimon Gamliel then said that, wait a second, the first guy should not go ahead and sell. The reason for that is because, according to Reb Shimon, really, the first guy is allowed to sell everything. If he's going to sell everything, then what the giver had originally wanted is not going to be fulfilled. Rather, the only thing initially that the first guy should do is consume the produce, or to sell the produce, but the body itself, that's only after the fact, but initially not. So that's what Reb Shimon was saying in the second braisa, when he was saying, "Ein l'rishon el achilas peiros bilvad." Only thing he has is peiros, is initially don't do anything more harm to the property than selling off or consuming the produce. But in the first braisa was talking about the eved, after the fact. After the fact, Reb Shimon holds yes, that the first one's kinyan peiros is going to be the rights of the guf itself, whether like Rabbi Yechon or because acharecha is like you're getting the guf itself, and therefore the second one is only going to have what the first one leaves over. Continue on this theme of this halacha, Amar Abaye says, "Ezehu rasha arm." Who is a wicked, crafty person? Wicked is because he's causing the original giver's intentions to be denied. And also he's considered crafty because what he's gaining is what's called, he's sinning, but not for himself, because he's not getting anything out of it. However, that's only when an outsider gets involved. If the seller himself, meaning the first guy, would go ahead and sell off the whole property, he's not considered a rasha, because although, as we just said, like a tchili shouldn't do that, but it's not such a stringent thing, because ultimately the one who gave it to him gave him the full rights of not just the peiros of the guf itself, also to do as he pleases. But who's a really wicked person? Says Abaye, Zeha Mesi Eitza. That's someone that gives counsel to the first guy, meaning the one who was told, here, my property is up for you, but after you goes to this guy and so on. If he gives him an idea, limkar b'nechasim, to sell the properties off, meaning, and the reason for this is because we paskin k'b'shimingam liel, that the second one doesn't get anything but what the first guy leaves over for him. Now, however, although he's allowed to, but that's not pleasing for the one who was dying or the original giver, who said, yeah, but when you're done afterwards, give it to that person. Obviously, he wanted that something should be left over. Now, again, he wasn't so particular not to allow the first guy to do it as he pleases, but that's what he wanted. So if someone gives him ideas, says, You know, if you don't use everything, it's going to go to that second person. You're a wicked, crafty person. Because wicked, because the original giver wanted that the second guy should get something. And you're crafty, you also are, because you're not even gaining anything. What are you getting meddling involved in such a thing? That's called a rasha arm. Continuing on this halacha, Rabbi Yechon, this is halacha k'b'shem gamliel. Halacha is like k'b'shem gamliel, as we said, regarding this machlokes with Rabbi, that the second one only has what the first one leaves over. He can do as he pleases in the body and in the payrus. Moreover, Umayda, but Reb Shimon agrees that even though he said that the second one only has what the first one leaves over, but he agrees that Shimon the Sanon. But if that first person gave away the property that he got from the original giver, but Matna Shchivmera, through the type of gift of a dying person, either it would mean that he said Mahayim Alachar Misa, meaning even if he's healthy, but a type of a gifting of a Shchivmera is that I'm giving it to you now, but it will only take effect after I die. Then loy asiklum. Then the first guy hasn't done anything, and the second guy will be able to take it away from the one that the first one gave it to. I mean, although the first guy could do whatever he wants with it, such a type of a gift, which is either mayim al hamizu, or if he actually was a shrimmer, a dying person, when he gave it away, where those are two the, and of the same type, as the Gemara taught us in Kabbalah Mahayimad Beis, now, what's a matnas bari that's like a matnas shchimra is this case of mayim al hamisa. If he does that type of a gift, then he hasn't done anything. Then the second person can take it away. So ask the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Didn't we say that the first guy, according to the halacha of Reb Shimon, could sell it, could give it whatever he wants to, and the second one won't get any rights to it? So Amabai, he explains, because matnas shchimra loikona el hamisa, or the case of mayim al hamisa is the same way, if someone gives a gift as a dying person, the actual gift only takes effect after the person's death. Now, although we said generally that cannot be done, that was a rabbinic dispensation for a shchimra. Now, the problem is, in such a case, if that's how he's gifting it to this other person, this first person, ukvar kodmu acharecha, but then that other person, the one who's supposed to come after the first person, already got it, this second person, who he was said regarding him that acharecha leplain will go to that person, he already then came and received it before the one that the first person gave it to. Why is that? Because from the moment that the first person starts to die, at that point, before he's even dead, the second person, this acharecha, already together at the time of death, has already acquired it. Because it's mashma that from the time when the first person doesn't need anymore. So then the original giver was saying, okay, when you're not going to need it, you don't have to be dead, then it's already given to the one after you to go ahead, let him go ahead and use it. Now, the thing is, but the recipient of the gift from this first person who was giving it as a matna shchivmera, that recipient is only going to acquire it after the death of the first person. The reason for that is because generally, a person that gives a gift of his money to take effect after his death, he doesn't want to lose the rights of it until he's totally gone from this world. Whereas in contrast to the case that we're discussing in our Gemara, where there's an original giver who gave it to one person and says, after you, it should go to that second person, there, where he's totally removing himself from it, when he's giving it to the first person, he wants that the second person should acquire it together at the same time of the death of the first person, and not afterwards. So therefore, the one who's supposed to get it from the first person, although if the first person got it done before he died, it would beat the second person, the acharech leplaini. But since the acharech leplaini gets it at the time of the death, not after the time of the death, and the first person is giving a gift that only takes place after the time of his death, therefore in such a case, the first person's gift will not be valid, and the second one will be able to take it away from him. However, on this interpretation of Abaye, the Gemara asks, "Umi Omar Abaye Hachi? Did Abaye really say this? That the gift of a dying person takes effect only after the conclusion of the death?" But Vayitma, we actually learned a direct discussion on this topic, where the discussion was Matna Shchivmera Meima Saikana. From at what point in time does the gift of a dying person take effect? Abaye Omar Im Gemar Misa. Abaye said it's together at the time of death itself. So obviously, the one that the first person was giving it to, and the acharecha leplaini, who is supposed to get after the first person, they both happen at the same time. Which, therefore, according to the way Abai is saying it over here, they should equally split that the chasim that the first person had. Whereas Varav Amar, he's the one that said la'achar gemar misa, that only takes effect after the conclusion of death. But you see that Abai doesn't hold it afterwards, it's during. And that says the Gemara hadde be Abai mahi. Abai retracted from this second halacha that we quoted, that it's with the Gemar Misa, he retracted from that, and he said that it's, like Rav had said, that it's only La'ach Gemar Misa, and that's why the Acharecha Leplaini came before the recipient of the first person. No, that the Gemara asks, although we know that these two halachas of Abai contradict each other, but how do we know that he retracted from that one? Maybe he retracted from this halacha that he was explaining over here in this halacha. Maybe he holds no, it is at the time of the death and not afterwards. So the Gemara, you cannot entertain to say that from the halacha of, that he said, the first halacha, that the gift of the Shechimra takes effect only after death, that it's not going to help, and the Acher Echla plane is going to get it first, because for sure, the Gemara says that a dying person that gives a gift to someone else from his own money, his intention is not to have it removed from his domain until the conclusion of his death. And the reason for that is the Gemara is going to prove we find a similar type of a parallel regarding one's wife. That when he divorces her and he's permitting her to marry other people, where his intention is not to allow her to be married someone else and to be removed from his domain until it's totally the end of his death. Where do we find this parallel? It's not, like we learn in Mishnah Masechet Gittin. Someone says to his wife, Zegitich imati, this is your get if I'm going to die. In other words, if I die, then it'll be a get. Why would someone want to do that? Anyway, she's permitted is that she doesn't have to go through Yibm and Chalitza. Or let's say he says, Zegitech Michaeli Zeh. He says, this is your get from this illness. In other words, after the conclusion of this illness, which is after death, then it'll be take effect this get. Or he says, clearly, Zegitech Lachamisa, this is your get after I die. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yamaklum. He hasn't said anything because he didn't say that it should take effect now. He said that it should divorce her after his death, and divorce cannot happen after one's death. He cannot divorce, he has to be alive. Now, Rashbam points out that this Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yasi, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin, that because if it was like Rabbi Yasi, he says that actually anytime there's a date, which there is on a get, it proves that it's almost like you're saying Mahayim Alachamisa, which there the Mishnah says that in general, your Chaletz is V'lamis Yabemis. But actually, in regards to this context of this Mishnah of this is your get if I die, it's actually as if you say, from today if I die, where the Mishnah there actually teaches, and it is a get. So that's not like Rabbi Yisi, but one thing says the Gemara, that what we see from this is that it's only going to be after his death that he's divorcing her, which the same thing would be for his gift that he's giving. Because if it would be at the time of the death, then actually it would be a get. Why does the Mishnah there teach Lema Klom? What do you mean? If I die, or La'achar Misa, means say, during the time of the death. During the time of the death, he's still alive. Obviously, you see from this halacha, from that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, that when someone says, after my death, he wants to remove something from his domain, whether it be money or wife, he only wants it after the death is done, when he's not alive anymore, and therefore, a get's not going to work. And so too, the matana of this first person is going to be after La'achar Echel Pleini, which takes together A'im HaMisa, not La'achar Misa. Therefore, again, it must be that Rabbi retracted from the one that he says, Im HaMisa, and not from the first halacha, which was La'achar HaMisa. Going back to what we said before, the Ram Mazir Amr B'yechanan, he also paskins halacha k'rabshim gamliel, that the second person only has what the first person left over. Moreover, v'afilo hoyu ben avadim, v'hitzion l'cheris, even if they were slaves in the properties that were given to him by this original person, which after he's done goes to the second person, they were slaves and he let them go free. So even there, Shimon was saying that what the first person sold, whatever he sells is sold, even if there were slaves that he let them go free. On that, the Gemara is Peshitta. Obviously, since as we said, whatever explanation you want to say, according to Bi'echa, according to Shlakish, that the first person has not just the pace, but even the guf itself, so of course he can do whatever he wants to. So of course he can let the slaves go free. What's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, mouthed him, and what would you say? Amale, that he could tell him, no, lemevedi sur lo yavinalach, that the original giver who gave it to the first person could tell him, I didn't give it to you to do biblical violations, because actually someone that frees his slave violates a positive commandment in the Torah. It says, Miyiko chafei lo ilam em tavoy, you're supposed to work with the slaves forever. And therefore, if he violates the Isser, you would think that for that I didn't give you to be ivri surim. That's what the Chiddush is, that no, the halacha is like Rav Shimon, meaning he gave it to him for whatever he does for it. It's not his business anymore in regards to holding back the kinyan if he's going to be violating Isurim with what he gave him. So to Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, he says, halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, v'afila ason techrich lemes, and even if the first guy went and took stuff from these assets and he made certain sheets into burial shrouds, what he has done. So the Gemara is Peshitta, obviously he can do whatever he wants with it. Says the Gemara, what would you think to say? The original giver could tell the first guy, I didn't give it to you to make them into things that are forbidden to have benefit from, because tachrich and burial shrouds are forbidden to have benefit from, as the Gemara learns out from Sukkim and Sechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Mabez. Rather, you could tell him, I gave it to you so that I wanted people to benefit. Here I am, I'm a philanthropist, I'm on my death, but I want people to enjoy. Because that's what people want, that people should enjoy their money, not just to go to waste. And here you're going, taking something which no one can have benefit from anymore. So you would think maybe that would not be valid. Kamash Mulam, that's the Chiddush. No, even there, Reb Shimon says, whatever the first guy does, he could do whatever he wants, and he owns it, and he could even make it into tachrichin. Now the Gemara continues in the related discussion. Darish Rav Nachma bar Rav Chizda says, if someone tells someone else, Esrik zed nosan lach b'matana, which we'll continue on these halachas about gifting things to people. If someone says, this Esrig is given to you as a gift, moreover when we're talking about this concept of achrecha, that after you it'll go to someone else, so he was telling you that you can use this Esrig your whole entire life, it's yours. But v'acharecha, after you, meaning after his death, Leplaini should go to that other person that he could use and fulfill it and eat it, whatever he wants to, because there's no acharav after him. So he can, after the first person's death, second guy could even eat it. He doesn't have to leave it over for anyone else. Now, says Rav Nachman Rav Chizda, if not lo rishon v'yatzu bai, if the first person takes it, meaning the esrog, to fulfill his mitzvah of the chiv of esrog on Sukkot and to make a brach on it, that's not such a pashta halacha. That's going to come to the machlekes Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel. How so? Meaning which we quote on the top of this amid. According to Rebbe, the first person is not going to be yetzis chiv of esrog on Sukkot, because the only thing he has in this esrog is a kinyan peiros, is utility, because he cannot sell it if he wants to, and therefore it doesn't fulfill the obligation of the esrog, which has to be lochem. The dalet minim have to be yours, which means you own it. You don't own it, according to Rebbe. The first person only has the kinyan peiros. He can use it, but he doesn't own it. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, the first person will be yaitzi. Because if he wants to, he could eat it, he could sell it, he could do whatever he wants to. Because as we said, that he's saying acharecha, the second guy only gets what the first person leaves over. But he can do whatever he wants to. Therefore says Rav Nachma, Rav Chizda, if the first person could be yaitzi, chiv of esrog, in this case, would be totally in this machlekes, Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel. On this halacha, maskeb l'Rav Nachma Yitzchak. He asks, and said, wait a second, who says this would be contingent on their machlekes? Ad kan le'pligi Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel Hasam, where do we have their machlekes over there regarding what's considered the peiros of the first person? Both of them agree that the first person has peiros. Ella, rather, what was their whole machlekes? Demar, the Reb Shimon Saver, he held that the kinyan peiros that the first person has, as we said, is kinyan guftam, is like the ownership of the body itself. Because as we said, even according to Reish Lakish, who holds generally, it's not kikinyah guf, we said when you say acharecha, it's different. Umar, whereas Rebbe Sava, he held, kinyah peiros lav kikinyah guf dami. That's not considered like an ownership in the body itself. And therefore, he said that if you sell the body, you haven't done anything. But regarding peiros, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, everybody agrees that the first person has the utility, the peiros. And therefore, Elohach, over here regarding the Allah of Esrig, regarding fulfilling the obligation of Netilas Lulav with the Esrig, well, that is the peiros, that's the utility of the Esrig itself. Where even according to Rebbe, I say that he would fulfill his obligation. And the reason for that is to continue to Beis, because E, Mapik Loi Nafik Bey, if it's like you're saying that according to Rebbe, the first person would not fulfill his obligation of Netilas Lulav with that Esrig, then Lamaya Havinale, then tell me, for what purpose do you think the original giver was giving it to the first person if there is no other pre utility that there is in that body of that esrog that he gave to the first person? Because, as you said, Rebbe holds the body, the first person, cannot sell or eat it. So it must be, what did he give it to the first person for as a pre, must have been as its utility, which is fulfilling the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, that we do consider it lachem. Why is it lachem? But he doesn't own it totally. It is because he does. Because at this point in time, the second person, as long as the first person is alive and using it, since he says acharecha, the second person has no rights in it whatsoever. And regarding all of its utility, we consider it lachem according to Rebbe, and he could fulfill his obligation in it. Now, although this might seem similar to the case that the Gemara is going to bring later on, of Esrog HaShutvin, when you have an Esrog that's owned by partners, which the Gemara says clearly that one of the partners does not fulfill his obligation, because not lachem, that's because at this point in time, simultaneous, they're all partners in it. But here, what Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying, this esrog is not meshubet to the second person at all, as long as the first person is still alive. So Ella, rather, he disagrees. And he says, he says, no one's going to disagree that the first person could fulfill his obligation on Tilas Lulav with this esrog. But rather, mechara oy achala, if the first person sold it or ate it, that's banal machlekes, Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel. That's actually the classic machlekes that they have. That's going to be their machlekes. Where according to Rebbe, the first person is going to have to actually compensate the value of the esrog to the second person, because you had no right to sell it. You only had the kinyan peres, not the kinyan guf. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, no, the second person only has what the first person leaves over. Now what's the chiddush then? According to that interpretation, esrog, karka, what's the difference? That the chiddush would come to tell us that just like they disagree regarding land, so too they disagree regarding esrog, which recorded this in the Brice. So we said that according to Rebbe, that the first person is yirid u'machare lotzes boy. We explain, he says that he could sell only for the pre. Whereas we said according to Reb Shimon, that l'ketchila only has achilas prayers, we said, well, that's initially, but we said that if he does sell even the body itself, it's going to be sold. So if that's the same achlikis, so why do we have to say specially that the same thing applies to us? I guess because we would have thought to say that even Rebbe would agree that he is giving the body of the esrog to the first person. Why? Because there is no pre of a pre itself. So you would think that if he's giving to the first person, it must be it's the esrog itself. That's the chiddush to say that no, there is a pre in this esrog. What's the pre? Pre doesn't mean that it has to give birth to something else. It means that there's utility for it, that you could use it and fulfill your obligation on the tilis lulav. That's the pre that was given to the first one, and the body was given to the second one. That's the chiddush in saying that their machlekes applies not just by karka but also regarding esrog. Mark continues on this theme again, also talking about esrog. Amar Rabba Bar Avuna. Ha'achin shekanu esrog, regarding brothers that acquired an esrog, either what they inherited from their father, that's they're all in their father's estate still, or they took money that they inherited from their father's estate, but it was still betfusas abayas, which means to say that they didn't yet divide the estate. It's still tati's money. They didn't split amongst themselves. And notlu echad mehen, now one of the brothers went without the other brother's awarenesses. He took that esrog, the Yotzeboy, and he went to fulfill his chiv on Sukkos of Nefilas Lulav. So on that says Rabbi Rav Huna. So then we look, we see, if the brothers are not particular regarding this guy using it for Nefilas Lulav, meaning, because Yachla Achloi, if he wanted to, he would be able to eat the esrog without their permission. Now, how would that be? Either because the family has many, the father owns an esrog paradis, he has many esrogim in the family, or there are actually many esrogim to buy in the city, or the brothers actually already fulfilled their obligation of esrog already and they don't need it anymore. So if he wants to eat it, he could, and it wouldn't bother the brothers, well then yatsa. Then he fulfills his obligation, because that's considered lachem, because it's totally his. If he wanted, he could totally consume it. But vimla, but if not, let's say it's the only esrog they have, and then it's not his because he can't eat it, he can't do whatever he wants with it, the brothers would be very upset. They didn't fulfill their obligation yet either. Then lo yatza, then actually this brother has not fulfilled his obligation. Because as we said, the pasuk says, ulakachtam lochem, which means mishel lochem, has to be yours, has to be totally yours, and not only partially yours. And here it's shared by all the brothers, you can't fulfill your obligation of esrog from that. Now, although the Gemara says in Masechtas Chulin that we find bigdeichem, arisaseichem, turmeseichem, we find in different contexts of halacha, which it says it in the plural, which includes even the talis of partners, or the dough of partners, or the grain of partners, which they're obligated in tzitzis, and challah, and truma. So therefore, the same thing seemingly should apply over here also, which says lochem in the plural. That's only, says Rashbam, if it would have said, you should take for yourself a pre-eitz hadarchem in the plural, that would tell us even if it's owned by partners. But since it says lochem, it means it has to be yours and totally yours. So then why does it say lochem and not v'lakach t'locho in the totally singular? That's because we actually wanted to make a drasha that every single person, lochem, every individual amongst the many, have to take their own lulav and esrog. Now, although we said that if it's owned by partners, one does not fulfill his obligation, says Rashbam that their custom was that the entire kehillah actually did make a bracha on one esrog, because everyone's intention was to gift it, their portions, totally to that one who's using it at that time, as we find in Masechtas Sukkah, the same idea, where although, even though it's not being specified, it's like as if they're specifying, where it's not any less from this concept we're going to shortly speak about of matana manas lahavser, where you can give a total gift to someone else on the condition that he gives it back, And that's the intention of the Kehillah, where everyone gives it, at least for the moment that he's blessing it, the entire ownership of it for that moment, as long as he gives it back to the Kehillah. Now, that only has to be at least for Yom Tov Rishon, but Yom Tov Sheni anyway is not a problem, because as we said, that there you yotze even by a borrowed one or even by a stolen little bit of esek. Now, however, the Gemara concludes that v'davka de'ikah esek l'cholchad v'chad. But this is specifically if there is an esterik for every single person. Now, actually, these words that it says v'davka, if there's an esterik for each one, aval parash arimayin lai, but if all that there is a quince or a pomegranate, then not, actually says Rashbam, that this is a lengthy addition that's totally unnecessary and it's not part of the Gemara, because this is just repeating what we said. We said that it's you're only going to fulfill if there's esterikim for the rest of the family. But if there's not, then not, where that's the same idea that we said, that you have to totally own it. It has to be totally lecham. Amar Rava says, following related halacha, Estrig zeh nosin locha b'matan. If someone says to someone else here, this estrig is given to you as a gift, amanas on the condition shetachzeruli, that you give it back to me, what's known as matan amanas lahachza. I'll give it to you, it'll be yours, as long as you give it back to me. So says Rava, not loy b'yatzabayis, of that guy, the recipient of the gift, shakes, does the Ntilas Lulav, and he uses it. So it depends. Hichzira Yatza. If he gives it back to the original owner, it retroactively it's revealed that he has fulfilled his obligation, because now we know that it was a full-fledged gift, because he fulfilled the stipulation, which was stipulated that he's only giving it to him if he gives it back. But lo yichzira, if he doesn't end up giving it back, rather let's say he sells it or eats it, then lo yatza, that means to say he has never fulfilled his obligation of the Ntilas Lulav, because now it's been retroactively revealed that what was given to him was never a gift. And Rashbam addresses, although generally we say that when it comes to stipulations, it has to be a double bind, what's called a Tanai Kafel, but that would not apply in this context regarding such a halacha of gift. Rather, we go based on umdino, what the assumption is, especially here we're saying directly, only if you give it back to me, that would be the halacha, and therefore if he doesn't give it back, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Now, says the Gemara, Kamash Malam, what we learn from this halacha is, the matana, manas lahachza, shema matana, that if someone gives a gift, but stipulated that it's only if he gives it back, it's considered a gift, and the significance of that is that, like we said before, because the estrogi only yaitse if it's lachem, it has to be yours. No, it's not mine. I have to give it back to you. No, it is. It's yours for that moment. It was gifted. But then there's a condition, which is phase two. Then you got to give it back. Gemara continues with a related discussion. Now, he itza, the havala diklo ba'ara de Rabibi Barabaya. There was a certain woman that owned a palm tree on the land of the property of Rabibi Barabaya. Now, kolemis the havas azla migzari. Every time she came to cut down from that tree, have a cup of Rabibi Barabaya would get upset at her. So she didn't want to deal with this anymore. So she went and she acquired the rights of the palm tree to Rabbi Barabaya as long as he lived. Which, that's, and after he dies, then it should go back to this woman and to her inheritors. Now, Azl Ihu, Akniye Nahale Libnei Katan. So what Rabbi Barabaya did was, now that he had the rights to it, he went and he acquired it, he sold it, so to speak, to his minor son. Which is like Reb Shimon, who, as we paskin, says that if you give it to the first person, the second person, who is the original woman herself, only gets what the first person left over. And since he sold it off, it's already done. She's never going to give it back. Now, although Reb Shimon himself did say that l'ketchil, it's forbidden to do that, but that was only when the one who gave it to him says, acharecha l'plaini, that after you should go to that other person, where then his intention was obviously that something should be left over to go to the second person. But this woman, since she totally gave it to Rabbi Barabaya, only himself would know acharecha, as long as he lives, and she didn't say that after him it should go to someone else, rather that just that it's for him and afterwards it goes back to herself, obviously her intention was she wanted to please her Rabbi Barabaya, and therefore even initially he could go ahead and do with it as he pleases. Now, why did he go specifically and acquire it to his minor son? Was either because he didn't want that the woman could then be able to go ahead and acquire it back, because you cannot be koneh from a minor, or actually his intention was because, now, although you have to sell it off quickly, because if he dies, then I'll go back to the woman and say, I want to sell it off, but he sold it to someone, specifically his minor son, who eats by his table, and then Rabibi could go ahead and eat those produce, because since he supports his son, he gets the rights to his payers. So he did it to someone that he could sell it to, but he could still eat the payers. Now, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, so Rav Huna Bar Yeshua said to Rav Bibi Barabaya, Mishum da Asu Mimaloi, because you come from Maloi, where Zigmar says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah that Baya and Rava, who came from the family of Beis Eli, which they were called based on their place, which the Bnei Eli were called Mumaloi. That's where they were, as we find in Bereishis Rabbah, that Ramei went to Mamla, and he saw those who only had black hair, and he said, maybe you're from the house of Eli, where the Pasuk said a curse that they're not going to live to old age and get white hair. So they said, yes, Rebbe daven for us, and he says, okay, go ahead and give tzedakah, then you'll be married to live to an old age, as we find similarly in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that although the Pasuk says that the Beis Eli will not have a kapara with karbanos, but with Tyre and Gemilas Chasadim, they will be able to live to an older age. So he says, what? Because you come from a Maloi, so Amrita Mila Milyasa, so because you come from Mamla, so you say words that are Malasi, the same etymological related type of a word, where either Mili Malyasa means to say words that are cut, which means they have no significance, as we find that Yimal Katsira means cut, as the Bris Mila, or it has, means actually, as we had this word in Cheska Zabat and previously in Nundal Med Aleph, like Mulya Bemulya, which means to say like piles, mean to say things that are blemishes. Meaning to what he was basically telling them was because he was cursing them, saying a derogatory term based on the place where they come from. Where we actually find such a precedent in the pasuk in Sefer Micha that bati achzav la'achzav yikarenti akar, meaning a play on the word of the place itself to say something that's going to happen bad because of like the same name. Here he was saying the same thing. What, because you come from a loy, so you say words that are basically incorrect. What do you think you're doing, Rabbi Rebbe Abaya? A filler of Shemim Leil Lekamar, even if Shemim Leil did not say that what the first person sells off is going to be sold off. That was Ella. That was only when the one who gave it to him said, I'm giving you the property, and afterwards it should go La'achar to someone else. That's what he said. Okay, whatever the first person does is done. Aval Atzmai, but when the original giver said, and after you're done with it, it goes back to me, like the case of the woman, where she only acquired it to Rabbi Rabbi as long as he was alive, because she wanted that after he's dead, it should go back to her. There he says that even if Shem Gamaliel, Loi Amma, he wouldn't say that over there. He would agree that the kingdom would only be for the payers. And this, that you acquired it to your son, you haven't accomplished anything. The only thing you have is for payers as long as you live, but the goof itself, you have not sold off. When you die, it will go back to that woman. Now, continuing on the theme before this discussion, which actually the Rashbam wants to say that this Gemara should be before this incident of Rav Bibi, because it's similar to the Gemara before that, which Rava had said that if someone says to someone else here, this Esrog is for you as a gift on the condition you give it back to me, so we have a discussion just like that. Rava Amar Rav Nachman, he says, someone tells someone else, Shorizeh Nosn Lecha B'matanam, this ox is given to you as a gift until a certain amount of time that you need to use it for. Amanas shetechzireli, on the condition that you give it back to me after that time. Now, hikdeishoy vechzire, so that recipient of the gift took that ox, was makdish, it says it belongs to Hekdash, and they gave it back to the original owner. Says Rava, hareza mukdash umukhzir, so it's sanctified and it's given back. In other words, he was able to be makdish it, because ultimately he gave it back, so he fulfilled his condition. So it's revealed retroactively that he had it as a gift, which means it was his. If it was his, he could be makdish it. Now, moreover, actually, Rashbam says, it also seems to him that if during that time period when this recipient of the gift had it, the animal would have died, he would have been exempt from paying for it because he's not a shoyel. It's not like he lent it to him to be liable in Einzin. And he's not even a shoymer sacher to be chayvig neva veda. All he was is a recipient of a gift with the obligation of giving it back. So the only liability, says Rashbam, that he would have would be a pashia, would be negligence. But beyond that, it was his. So it was a gift. So therefore he was able to be makdash it because he gave it back. On that, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav said this over the name of Rav Nachman. But then he himself asked Rav Nachman, I don't understand the halacha. Maya Hadre, what exactly did he give him back? The whole gift was only on the condition that he gives it back to him, that he should give back the thing itself. But since he was makdash it, when he's bringing it back to the owner's place, he's not giving it back to him. He's giving it back to Hekdash because it's not even his. It's Hekdash's. So Amalei Rav Nachman responded back, well, Umay Chasre. But what did he take away from him? He didn't take away anything. He's giving him back the animal itself. So Elam Ravashi, rather, Ravashi gives the following qualification. He says, Chazina, we see. E Amalei Amanash Techzerehu. If he told him, on the condition that you give it back, so Ahadre, so he gave it back. So even though he was Makdash it, he gave it back and it will be Hekdash. And because it was a gift. But e amar le amanash techzere you leave. But if he says in the condition you give it back to me, me did the chazal kamale. He's obviously saying something that he could use for. If you're giving it back to me, it's hectic. You're not giving it back to me. You're giving it back, but not back to me. And therefore, he said to me. Then he's not going to be able to makdish it, because if he is actually, then he's not going to be giving him back anything. And then it's retroactively revealed there was never a gift. So therefore, it depends what the wording exactly that he said. If he's makdish it, if that's going to be valid or not.